So like I said at the beginning of the service, our series is Odds and Ends in Mark, taking a look at the gospel readings from Mark for these next series of weeks this fall. And it's because I started noticing all these little things, little phrases, little details in these readings that I want to explore. And the reason to do that is because every detail included in a gospel, every detail is really, really important. The Gospels are written in a different way than how we might talk or speak or write, so that every word is there really important. There's some reason to tell us these things, especially the Gospel of Mark. I mean, if you're thinking about, hey, I should read one of the Gospels, you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Should read one of the Gospels, you know, either as a review or because you've never really just sat down and read a Gospel. The Gospel of Mark is a great place to start because Mark is all about action. You've got event after event after event, and it keeps moving. It's got all this action. So when Mark pauses to tell us some detail, it's got to be there for a reason. It's got to have some importance to it. And that's what we have with today's Odds and Ends reading in Mark chapter 7. If you want to look at that in the bulletin, it's the first verse. Then Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. Now, I don't know about you, just reading along, I just think, okay, that's good, And you know, in my mind, I don't know that geography very well. And so, I mean, Mark could be saying something as, you know, earth-shattering as, you know, he went from Waukegan to Gurnee to Gray's Lake. Woo! But it seems like maybe there's something more going on. And so you got to look at the geography. And so I'm going to teach you a little geography today, but I forgot to print maps, so you're going to have to use your hand. So take your right hand, okay? I'm going to teach you some geography. So your right hand, your back of your hand facing you. And this over here, that's the Mediterranean Sea, all right? That's the Mediterranean. Down here, your thumb, that's Egypt, okay? Then this fleshy part between your forefinger and your thumb, this fleshy part is Gaza. You've heard of Gaza and the Gaza Strip, Palestinians. Still fighting today. You got the Gaza Strip and Israel right here. Well, roughly, in the middle of your back of your hand, that's Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was the center for the Jews, the capital. That's where, you know, Jesus spent time. It's where he was crucified. Jerusalem is there. All right, so that's basic so far. And then you got your knuckles. Those are your knuckles. And then just above your knuckles, let's say, is Samaria. Remember, like the Samaritans? Samaria was the northern part. It used to be the northern kingdom of the Jews, and they had drifted away, and so nobody really liked the Samaritans anymore. So the Samaritans are up there. And then you get up into your next knuckles, and now you're in the region of Galilee. And we just sang about Galilee in that hymn, and that's where Jesus spent a lot of time. We're back into Jewish territory, but it's Galilee. And somewhere right in here is the Sea of Galilee. Okay? And he spends a lot of time around there. But notice, we still haven't gotten to our geography for today. Because Tyre is way up here in Syria. Tyre is way up here. That's where he starts. And then he goes to Sidon, which is even further north. And then it says that he went to the Sea of Galilee by the Decapolis. So he's way over here. So when you look at it, he's up here, he's been in Galilee, goes to Tyre, goes to Sidon, goes down the Sea of Galilee to the Decapolis. When you look at that, that verse doesn't make a lot of sense. Because it says from Tyre, he's trying to go to the Decapolis, which really means he should have gone from my forefinger over here, right, just straight down. Instead, he went up to Sidon and kind of around and then to Decapolis. There's got to be a reason he did that. I doubt it was just because he wanted to add extra steps, you know, with his Fitbit or something like that. And there's a reason Mark's telling us this. Jesus is traveling in this Syria area and the Decapolis, these areas that were not predominantly Jewish. They were predominantly Roman and Greek, and that's their culture. And Jesus is going through their region, bringing his word of gospel and bringing healing. Let me tell you about the Decapolis. That's our geography element for today. That's our odds and ends. Decapolis. It's a 10-city league established by the Emperor Ptolemy in 64 BC. And it was a bunch of cities settled by Greek soldiers. And so they developed Greek culture there in this region. And then the Roman Empire, it's, you know, building up, and the Greek culture is key to the Roman Empire. And there were religious Jews in the area, and they were resisting. They were trying to not pick up on all this Greek culture stuff. In fact, in reading about it, became sympathetic to the Pharisees. Usually we talk about the Pharisees in the Gospels as the ones who are always mad at Jesus, and they were always trying to get you to follow a bunch of rules, and they seem like they didn't get it. But it could have been that the Pharisees started making a lot of those rules because they were worried about the people surrounded by Greek culture, that the people were going to give up their faith. And so they started to make more and more rules. It got out of hand. But it could have started that way. And so the cities of the Decapolis, the 10 cities, though they had the empire's support, and the empire said, you know, go and practice how you want to practice. Don't worry about the Jewish people who are living there. Just practice how you want. So they brought this Greek culture, which included the theater, right? But the theater was telling stories about the Greek and the Roman gods. And it brought the gymnasium, which was really a celebration of the human body, because one of the values of Greek culture was pleasure. Pleasure was one of the highest goods. The temples to local gods were there. They were modern, wealthy cities. And they said that the only way to know truth was through the human mind. So when Mark says, this is where Jesus went. When Mark says, he went up to the forefinger and then to up here and then over here. When Mark says that, that's the kind of area that Jesus was traveling in. One person said that you might compare the area to the area in Jesus' parable of the prodigal son. You remember that parable? Jesus is telling this parable. He's telling this story and tells about the younger son who says, I just want my inheritance, Dad. I don't care that you're not dead yet. I want my inheritance. So the father gives him his inheritance. And the son takes off, and it says, travels to a distant land, and there squanders his wealth in shameful living. It doesn't say Decapolis, but the listeners probably would have been thinking of that kind of area. Oh, he went off to the distant land. That's the region Jesus is traveling, which is incredible. This is not a region where the people are saying, oh, good, a Jewish rabbi is coming to town today. We really want to hear from the Jewish teacher. That's not what these people were necessarily thinking. But as they heard more and more about Jesus, they realized that maybe there was something here. They were used to the Jews, the Pharisees, who were making all these rules and basically saying, if you don't follow these rules, if you are of Greek culture, you're terrible. And so they weren't going to be so likely to hear Jesus, this Jewish teacher. And they were celebrating a culture where they wanted to do their own thing. They had their own ideas and celebrate their own way of living. So they weren't going to be so ready to hear about this Jesus. But then Jesus comes through this region, and he brings this message where he's healing people miraculously. And he's speaking these gospel words. He's saying, you know, we are turned away from God, but God has mercy on us. He's speaking these words that they had not heard. And he comes, and he doesn't embrace Greek and Roman culture, but he doesn't become a zealot and attack everybody. Instead, he comes talking about all people being able to have a relationship with God, transformed by God's Spirit, for a life that points to goodness and grace and mercy and love, points to all these things of God. Jesus comes into this odds and ends region with a hope for all people. And it is a hope through him, not through any other gods. He didn't back away from saying, I am the only hope. And it is a hope through him, not through us following a bunch of rules. It is a hope through him alone. It's a hope for all people through Jesus. Jesus who lived perfectly, Jesus who died on the cross, Jesus who rose again to conquer death and give us the promise of eternal life. Into this region, Jesus brings this gospel. And into this same kind of region, Jesus has brought us. I mean, as I was reading about the Decapolis and the values and the culture and all that kind of stuff, I thought, it doesn't sound that far off from where we live today. And we could choose a couple of different approaches, knowing that people around us are turned away from God and there's a lot of challenges for us. We could come up with some different plans. One plan would be, everybody go home today, pack one suitcase, and then we're going to meet back here and we're going to caravan. I found a farm, plenty of acreage, and we're just going to hunker up there, build a wall, and stay there. That would be one plan. Then we'll be protected, right? How many are going to go pack their suitcase today? Nobody's coming with me. I got plenty of acreage. Okay. Plan number two. We could just embrace culture. We'd say, yeah, we believe in Jesus, but you know what? Just go and believe whatever else everybody else is believing. We'll go do that. But that doesn't sound like what Jesus did. Number three, we could make a lot more rules to make sure that we stay true and to prove that we are faithful. We could make a lot more rules, but that doesn't sound like Jesus either. Or we could journey with God. We could go where God is taking us. We could live where God has brought us. And we could be praying that God keeps us faithful even while we are telling others about Jesus. And it's this whole mixed region, odds and ends kind of a region. That's what Jesus does. He brings a hope for all people. He holds on to that hope for all people. He offers it to people who may not have been looking for him or may not even wanted to hear from him, and he keeps holding out the hope for them. And that's what he calls us to do. He calls us, and I've been talking about taking a simple, direct approach this fall in encouraging us in our life as disciples. A simple, direct approach of just saying, I pray that you will be in worship, in Bible study, in Sunday school, and spend time in fellowship with one another, because I don't know any other way for us to grow as disciples, to grow in our faith, than to spend that time together around God's word and encourage one another in that word. That's my prayer. And as we bring this hope for all people, that is how we are encouraged in that hope. So that even when we're living in Tyre and Sidon and in the Decapolis, even when we live in this region, we continue to be encouraged in this true hope. So that's my prayer for us. But let me say this. That's my prayer for us because I want us to be encouraged in this hope that God brings to us. But on the one hand, it could be that it starts to sound like too many rules. It could start to sound like the Pharisees, like you have to be in worship, you have to be in Bible study, and then you're going to tune me out, and you should, because I don't want it to be about making more rules. But I also don't want to say, let's just sort of blend into the culture and sort of forget what we're talking about. What I want is what I see in Jesus. As he traveled about, he gave a hope for all people. He offered that hope to all people, and he said, it's not about trying to do it yourself, and it's not about abandoning this. Instead, the hope for all people is through Jesus And by spending time together in His Word, that is how we are able to encourage one another in that gospel. Because here's the other fact about odds and ends. Aside from the odds and ends in the gospel readings, there's a few odds and ends in this congregation. A few odd people, right? Include yourself. You're all very odd. You're very odd because God brought us together. We're odd to one another because we didn't all just choose one another. Somehow God brought us here. And I take that as His doing, His work, so that His odds and ends are here gathered around His hope. Hope for all people in Jesus. We support one another in that hope so that we can go into all the region with that same hope. Amen.